Hello there, and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so excited you're here with me because you get to get a deeper glimpse into the hearts and minds of men with this series. I've gathered 20 amazing men who are sharing with you from their minds and hearts some of the inner secrets and thoughts that we don't always know about men. Now, today on the Man Panel, I'm particularly excited because I get to interview my number one man, my go-to guy, and that's my husband, Benjamin Johnson. Welcome, Benjamin.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. It is wonderful to be with you. Yeah, you know, right downstairs from you. But thank you so much for letting me be on. I just love to talk to the ladies, and hopefully I can be of some help.
Well, I told Benjamin after being married to me for almost 10 years, he's got that real life experience that really makes him an expert. But in truth, it goes much deeper than that. Benjamin had his own long and winding journey to love as a single man. He and I got married when I was 43 and Benjamin was 38. First time marriage for both of us. And we've been through 10 years of marriage now, including a very difficult and challenging breast cancer journey that Benjamin stood by me through. And he really is my go-to guy. He's the man I rely on and I trust and I feel safe with. And it's because of him and the amazing gift that he is in my life that I feel so inspired about wanting to support as many women as possible into deep, juicy, yummy partnership kind of love. So, Benjamin, I'm so excited that you're here. I know that your care and concern for the ladies will come through in what you say. I know many of you have heard Benjamin speak before, and he's always in hot demand, so I'm excited to have him back again. So, Benjamin, I wonder if you can tell us, just to get started here, a little bit about your own journey to love, maybe some of the key things that you learned. And then we can pivot into you sharing some of the most important things that you think men would want women to know about them, or some of the insider secrets, so to speak, about what's going on in the hearts and minds of men. So let's just start there, and we're just going to have a great, fun conversation.
All right. Sounds marvelous. You know, coming out of high school, getting into college, I was one of... This is something men don't talk a lot about when they're hanging around with their buddies, but men will have these insecurities. They'll have these thoughts about, in whatever way, not being enough, not knowing enough, not making enough, et cetera, et cetera. And that's an extreme sensitivity that a lot of men go through that I fought with, for all through my 20-year single period before meeting Michelle. And it's very important that women know about these kind of things that go on in the mind of men, because men work hard to put on that face. You know, just as a woman will say, I'm going to go get the makeup bag and I'm going to put on a face. Men do that too, just not with makeup. they're desperate to appear competent and confident even when they're not. And these insecurities of mine manifested themselves in attempting to cure my insecurities through someone else. And by that I mean I would seek out women who I felt looked wonderful on paper. I would seek out women who the world around me regarded somehow as amazingly impressive. Because in my insecurities, I would think, well, if this person, being who she is, actually is interested in me, well, this person has a lot of value. That means if she's interested in me, ipso facto, I actually have value too. And that was that for a long time in the earlier years of that process, that was the game plan. And as you might expect, when you make the kind of things that appear on a piece of paper or appear on a graduate degree or appear on a bank statement, when you make those things the first priority of what you're going after, you're going to find yourself without real emotional resonance with the person. You're not going to find that connection. And I'm fully aware, of course, of the irony of me sitting in this chair. I can think of a couple of women from my past life right now who would be getting big laughs out of seeing me here. Oh, the relationship expert. But we learn things. not only in my single years, but in the 10 years Michelle and I have been married. And it's people asked me, what attracted you to Michelle when you first met? And here I was carrying around these strange sets of criteria that had nothing to do with a person's warmth or compassion or emotions or anything like that. And I realized when people would ask me that question, I realized, you know, I think the best answer is, I know a lot of women who are brilliant and confident and educated and successful. And I know a lot of women who are warm and kind and emotionally available, but I don't know a lot of women who are both at the same time. Now, of course, that's not just limited to women. I mean, you could say the same thing about men who may be ridiculously successful in their career, but are completely tied to it and are completely emotionally and relationship-wise unavailable in other ways. So that's certainly not limited to women. But I realized with Michelle, it was both. And here's someone who had all of those so-called on-paper qualities that I had been on my, you know, on my Don Quixote quest to find, but all of the warmth was there as well. It was one of those experiences that ambushes you unexpectedly. And that's what happened.
Benjamin, thank you so much for sharing that. First of all, for being so kind and generous. You can see, ladies, he's hopelessly biased in my favor, and I'm so grateful for that. But also, I think a couple of the things that you hit upon here are really, really key, and maybe we can explore them even just a little bit further. So one thing that you brought up that I think is so essential and important, Benjamin, is this whole resume list that we all have a tendency to compile as we're thinking about who we might want to be with or who we might want to partner with or who we might want to marry. And I think this, of course, impacts both men and women. Now, there's this perception, at least among many women, that all men want are a young, sexy, hot babe, and it's all centered around looks. And then I know there's perception, and these are stereotypes, I get it, but I know there's perception among some men that, you know, some women want them for their success or their career or finances or whatever the case may be. And while that all may be true in certain situations, I think what I've discovered, not only in my own life, but in working with clients, is that this whole resume thing, more often than not, has to be flexible. And what we really come to find out is key values and key personality traits and the character of the person sometimes end up being much more important and even essential for a long-term relationship than some of maybe the more surface things that oftentimes end up on our list. Can you talk a little bit about that further and just go maybe a little deeper about that? And then I want to swing back out around to something else you said as well.
Yeah, that would be great. The whole list is something that really is problematic, mainly for the reason that you don't know who's coming around the corner the next day. Nobody corresponds to your list. Now they may match with a point or two here, but people are so much more complex. And anyone here in the audience who's been in a relationship with someone for any length of time knows that that's the case. Just like a general in the army will tell you, no battle plan survives contact with the enemy for very long. Well, that's the same. It's the same thing with relationships. That's why it's important to have character, as Michelle mentioned, to have character come first. And in my previous recordings with Michelle, one of the themes that I've gotten onto time and time again is this concept of good faith. It's one of my favorite phrases in the world. I'm an attorney by profession, and it gets used quite a bit in things like contract law and such. But in terms of human relationships, they're the two words that they're both very beautiful words, and they're even more beautiful when put together. What good faith means is that the image that you're projecting with your outward behavior is completely congruous, is completely in harmony with what your real inner agenda is. And one theme that, as I've talked with Michelle, as she's mentioned situations that clients have been in, one theme that comes up over and over again is that women get into relationships and they engage in what Michelle has sometimes referred to as unholy giving, which to sum up means too much, giving too much too soon, only to find out that the agenda of the man did not match the outer messages that he was sending. In other words, he was pursuing the relationship in bad faith, hoping to get something else from it. And this is why, as Michelle has said a lot of times, this is why character counts first. And coming to know a person and their character is what, more than anything else, is what will help ensure a successful relationship, certainly more than something like chemistry, because as previous speakers in previous summits have said, you know, chemistry is great. The problem with chemistry is it has no conscience. It has no moral compass. Chemistry simply finds attraction and moves toward that attraction. It can't make any moral or character decisions. So that's why the list can play an important role, but it has to be a list. Unlike the mistake I made, it can't emphasize a list of the kind of things that are, you know, celebrity and success obsessed culture find important. It needs to be a list of items of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And one of the things I've found, Benjamin, in my work with so many women is that oftentimes women are surprised at who they are initially not as attracted to, but once they get to know the heart and character qualities of a man, that chemistry and that attraction oftentimes will develop. Now, what we're not saying here is that you should give up the whole idea of chemistry. I would have resistance to that just like you would. But what we are saying here is that it's important to look more deeply. And both Benjamin and I really feel strongly there's a lot of value in taking your time in the early stages of a relationship, because it does take time to get to know the heart and character qualities of someone. And Benjamin, I love how you summarized this in one of our previous events, and I wonder if you can speak to this again. You talked about how important it is to more or less know how a man is going to show up for you on a day-to-day basis. And after all the glitter and stuff and feathers fall away, how essential that is. And I wonder if you can speak to that theme a little bit again.
Well, yes, it does come back to a person's character, because if you look at, you know, life has a lot of wonderful moments, has a lot of excitement-filled moments, but the vast majority of life's moments consist of day-to-day routine. And whether somebody winds up, for the most part, whether somebody winds up with what we might call a successful life at the end or not, is determined almost entirely by their ability to hang on and get through the routine of life. Now, how does that connect with this kind of talk about relationships? Many things, in addition to physical chemistry, many things may attract a woman to a man in the beginning. Whether it be certain talents that he might have, whether it be he's a great conversationalist, he's funny, he really knows how to make you laugh. But there could be any number of characteristics. But it boils down to something very important. And that is, have you determined that this man is someone who can show up day by day? And it goes back to the good faith I was talking about. I assume that the reason why most of the women who are watching this are watching this is because they're seeking a relationship with a man. That relationship is going to be a loving, caring, long-term. It's going to be the kind of lifetime partnership, successful one, that most people seem to be looking for. That's great, but in that situation, you need to be able to observe this person long enough to know that does the way he conduct his life, does the way he conduct his routine affairs, and boy, let me tell you, that's what life is, it's routine. Does he show up day by day? Because if there's one thing that I'd like people to take away from this, it's that none of those other characteristics that may have drawn you to this person, whether they be based on appearance or humor or whatever, none of those will matter if that ability to show up day by day, whether it's a guy who makes, you know, a top 1% of the a top 1% income, or whether it's a guy who makes a much more modest income. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's that ability to show up day by day and get the routine done. And it sounds boring, and it sounds not at all like the kind of romantic excitement we're used to. But that factor, more than anything else, is what will determine the long-term success of the relationship. And no other factor will step in and make up for that. That's why character, in terms of a man's ability to keep going when the glory's over and the routine has come, that ability to keep going is what matters most.
You know, I'm so appreciative that you are speaking about this, Benjamin, because I think it's so key. I think sometimes it's easy for both men and women to get caught up in the romantic fantasy. And I'm a romantic at heart. I'm a big romantic at heart. I love the sappy chick flicks. I love the romantic movies. I love romance, and I love the fantasy that comes along with that. But when we're talking about real life, this consistency that you're talking about and how someone shows up and how they manage their life is going to have a huge impact in your overall happiness if you're partnered with them. And Benjamin, I'm going to have you speak to this a little bit. You may have something to add, but I think one of the ways you can see that and determine whether or not that's going to happen is to see how a man is managing his affairs. And when I say affairs, I mean his job, his commitments to other people, if he has child support, if he has obligation to other family members, how he treats other people, how he shows up in the world, not just how he shows up with you. Would you agree?
Yes. And in fact, that's how you tell. Because if a man is trying to cultivate a relationship with you, he's going to be putting his best face on with you the whole time. But if you're observant and if you take your time to learn about character, because as I said in a previous broadcast, if he's the right man, if he has, if you will, if he has fallen for you and very much wants to pursue you in good faith, then taking time, you know, having a woman want to take time to get to know him better, that's not going to be a deal breaker. The right man who has fallen for you is not going to hit the road because you didn't hop in the sack on the second or third date. There are all sorts of guys out there who are very interested in that kind of thing, but they respond well to women who have standards, to women who they realize want to get to know them better and are very serious about doing the relationship right. So avoiding that kind of situation where you're giving too much too soon, that's, I think, one of the great myths that women sadly sometimes buy into, is that if I don't give certain things soon enough, then I'll lose him, and then, well, what if he was the right guy? Well, the answer is no. If he's going to go, by definition, he wasn't the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted me to hit something else in your question, and I apologize if I got a bit of a tangent there.
Yeah, that's okay. I actually want to swing back to the beginning of this conversation for a minute, because I think you talked about something that's really important, and I'd like to just go a little deeper with this. You talked about how in your years as a single man, when you were dating, that in some ways you were looking for the kind of woman that you felt could validate you in your feeling of worthiness or your self-worth. I had some of those same kinds of experiences myself, and it led me down to some interesting paths, which we won't go into today. But I think this is a huge vulnerability that we can have as human beings in looking for someone outside of ourselves to provide us with that feeling of worthiness or that feeling of worth, when in reality, that typically leads us into relationships where there's some kind of energy, you know, where you're feeding off of each other in unhealthy ways. And this is not to say that you have to have all your problems worked out, you have to have every little thing cleaned up in your life, but I do think it does mean we all have to take some responsibility for our own self-growth, for our own self-reflection, for our own self-awareness, because if we don't, we can get into some relationships that are less likely to lead us ultimately to happiness. Do you want to add anything to that? I just wanted to emphasize that because I think it's so important.
Well, exactly. And that kind of attitude, that kind of priority system that I had set up for myself, it led me into several relationships where in the end I realized I was not emotionally connecting at all with these people, because I was looking in all the wrong places, and because there was no connection in situations where the woman would say to me, well, I think we need to break this off, whatever. I would, in the earlier days of this problem, I would say, oh, okay. I would say to myself, okay, well, this is because she got to know me enough to know that I'm not worthy, not in her league. And so it would cause me, unfortunately, to double down on this whole idea that I had to continue on this impossible quest to be validated by somebody else. And as I said before, with the routines of life, when life hits those long, dry periods where it's just routine, that type of validation through another person is never going to work. Because as everyone who's been in a relationship knows, there are times when one person is badly down and has to greatly rely on the other person. And a good marriage, as somebody once said, a good marriage consists on making sure that the two people are never down at the same time.
Yeah, we hope for that, right?
you hope for that. But you can see how this idea of emotional, you know, of getting your validation through another person is not going to work if that person is in some way out of the game. You have to bring your own character, your own personality, and your own desires to the table. Mm-hmm. Or it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I love what you said also, Benjamin, about standards, because I really do believe, and those of you that have heard me speak before, you know I talk about this a lot, and Benjamin mentioned it. I really do believe that it's really important for you to have standards. And when I say standards, I mean be clear about what is and isn't acceptable to you, and to be willing to, in a nice way, let your preferences and your needs be known, to express what you want in terms of a relationship with a man. because it's only as you set those standards and have those standards do you find out if this is the kind of man that's more or less willing to rise to that challenge and to invest in getting to know you. And if we're talking about the long-term overview here, then you want to know that, because a relationship has a much better chance of standing the test of time if you find that out in the earlier stages. And another danger of us giving too much too fast too soon as women, which is this concept I've termed as unholy giving, because it tends to deplete the giver, in this case the woman, and is not always appreciated by the other person, the receiver, which is the man in this case. And what happens when we do this unholy giving is we tend to short circuit some of the natural patterns that need to happen for us, A, to find out the heart and character qualities of someone, and B, to find out if they're the kind of person that's in it for the long haul, as Benjamin was speaking about, dealing with you in good faith, someone that's going to be available to show up every day. And so I really appreciate that you brought up this concept of standards. This is not about you enforcing your standards on anyone else, but it's being clear about what you want and need so that a man has that choice as to whether he's the guy that is wanting and willing to step up and be there for you. And unless he knows what those standards are, he's not really in a place of choice. And I'll just say one other thing about this and then swing back around to Benjamin. I think what happens is that when we give too much too fast too soon, whether it be through physical affection or intimacy, or whether it be giving too much of our time, attention, focus, whatever, before a man has earned to have that premium place in your life, is we create these men that I like to call lazy daters. They get very used and accustomed to having, you know, sex available to them on the first or second date. They get lazy because they are not required by women out there to put anything in there. They don't have a lot of skin in the game. And so then we all end up feeling disillusioned because women think men only want sex and men just think, well, it's available, why not? So I'm really glad that you brought that up, but I want to swing back to something else that you said at the beginning of this conversation again, Benjamin, because I think this is so important for the women to have this emphasized. You talked about how you felt these feelings of some insecurity or not feeling like you measured up in certain ways, and you're so amazing. So for me, that's hard for me to believe on one level, but because I've experienced myself, I understand on some level. But I think what you touched on here was you touched on how you wanted a woman that was not only impressive. So that's one key point. You weren't saying you wanted a woman that was not letting her light fully shine in the world, so to speak, but you also wanted someone that was kind and warm and compassionate. And I think one man that I spoke with a few months ago said it best when he said, you know, not all men feel like, you know, 007, like they can go out and get any woman in the world. And so, Benjamin, this is what I want you to speak to. Help us as women to understand some of the vulnerabilities that men have and how big of a risk it feels like for a man when he's entering into a relationship with a woman, and then also a little bit about how a woman can be both impressive, but also kind and warm and compassionate, and what that means and represents to a man.
Sure. Now, I think I'll, if I may, I think I'll take the second of the of those first, because I know, as I said before, I know a lot of women who have achieved tremendous success in careers of all kinds and have adopted the traits and adopted the skills to be successful. But I think the mistake that a lot of women in those situations make is that as John Gray said in your initial in your initial video here, a lot of these women think that their first order of business in getting to know a man is to let him know in no uncertain terms that she has no need of him, that she's got it all together. She's omnicompetent. She's strong. And let me tell you, the message that sends to a man. I mean, the man, as Dr. Gray said, you don't have to keep proving that case over and over again, because a secret I can let you in on is that a good man, a man who in good faith wants to pursue a long-term happy relationship with you, he's already noticed those things. He's already taken in the things that you do, the successes that you've achieved, etc. He knows that if your first date is also your last date, that you'll walk away and you will continue to have a successful and very impressive life. What the man knows that. What he wants to know from you is, do you want me as a full partner? Or are you treating this more as a job interview? Are you taking all those skills? Let's pick a profession, you know, out of the group. You know, if a woman, for example, is a very high ranking manager, say a line manager or maybe in HR, are you treating this like it's a job interview? Are you bringing those male energies of looking at the numbers and seeing if the synergies make sense? Is that the first energy that you bring to the table? If that is the first energy that you bring to the table, you're going to wind up in a situation like I overheard a woman who you know is rather successful. I overheard a woman say, when asked how a relationship had gone, she said, "Well, it didn't go very far." And they asked her why, and she said, "Turns out I was more of a man than he was." Well, okay. So you dueled him. In essence, this woman dueled the man in a male energy game and felt that she was the victor, and therefore she did not need to give him any more of her time. As I said, the man knows how impressive you are, but a good man knows one other thing. A good man knows that no matter how impressive you genuinely are, there are times, being a human being, there are times when you're afraid, or when you're insecure, or when you're feeling frustrated, or there are certain phobias you have, or there are certain things that you just can't bring yourself to do, etc., etc. The right man, a good man, will, as has been said by previous speakers, you know, you don't go around dumping everything and being honest with everybody you run across. But as you get to know the person a little better, it can pay big dividends in the midst of that impressiveness. It can pay big dividends to let this person know that there are times when you have a lot of problems coping, which as human beings, we all have those. That what that will that means you're not getting into a masculine energy duel with this person. What you're saying is I have a good life. I have a happy life, but I have a life that could be even happier if I had someone there at those moments when I don't have it all together. Someone who could really be an emotional, be emotionally in sync with me. And when I'm down, they can be up and vice versa. So as Dr. Gray said, lay aside the idea of proving your I don't need you case. And instead, lead with warmth. Lead with some genuine interest in him and what he does and what he likes. And if you find that things are proceeding well, you can let him know a little at a time. You can let him know about those times when everything isn't all together. That's what will open the door. Because another myth that women sometimes believe, but for good men who want long-term relationships, it's virtually never true. And that is that men run away from strong and successful women. No, they don't. And as one author whose name I can't remember now, but she said, men don't run away from strong and successful women. They run away from invulnerable women. And that's I guess the key point that I was rambling towards is men are excited. The right man is going to be excited at your stature and success, not turned off by it. But he needs to know that he can be there for you in a way that nobody else can.
Mm. Yeah, I love how you said that. It's true that a man wants to feel needed. He wants to feel, as you said, Benjamin, that he is the man that can have a place in your life that no other person would have, that he can make a difference in your life. And this is not to diminish any of your accomplishments. It's not about you not showing who you are or letting that shine brightly, but it is about that vulnerability that Benjamin spoke about. And I believe that vulnerability, when we show our vulnerability, it also makes it safer for a man to show his vulnerability. It shows that you are real, and in that sense makes you more relatable. And I think it was actually John Gray also, when I interviewed him in January in a previous event, when he was talking about vulnerability, he talked about vulnerability is not just about sharing your fears or your struggles, but it's also about sharing your hopes and your dreams and the things that excite you and the things that light you up, and being able to open your heart in a way that allows a man to have that unique glimpse into all of the facets of you as a woman. And that tends to also create that space for a man to show some of his vulnerabilities, because you don't seem so like you've got everything together to the point that he can't feel safe to show that maybe sometimes he doesn't. Do you agree with that, Benjamin?
Oh yes, definitely. It flows both ways, and a willingness to share those kind of things just opens up the door to the other person. It's what leads to those moments that most of us have had when you're either talking with, you're sitting with someone in a restaurant in person, or you may be talking with them on the phone, and you realize that you've been on with them in this conversation for about 3-4 hours and you forged a connection, and that connection is formed by that intimate, that sharing of vulnerabilities, as you mentioned, not only the fears and the anxieties, but the hopes and passions as well. And that's what leads to the beginning of that connection.
Thank you, Benjamin. I want to, before we begin to wrap up for today, I want to ask you to speak to something that I also think is really important that you and I have had conversations about on a number of occasions. And we may have shared something about this in one of our previous events, but I think it's a theme that's worth repeating. And that is this concept of safety. So as you and I have talked about, Benjamin, for women, when we think of safety, we're typically thinking of physical safety, perhaps on a higher level than maybe emotional safety, although both are important. And maybe our definition of safety when we are from a female point of view is different than safety from a male point of view. But I think this concept of safety in the context of a relationship is essential for men. And I'd like for you to share a little bit about that from the male perspective.
Okay. Well, this just in, men determined to have feelings too. Well, you know, not often believed, but here we go. It's safety. Men value safety in a relationships and in a relationship. And because men are not going to talk about this, it's not something that two guys sitting together who are talking about Saturday's game suddenly segue into how important it is to feel safe in a relationship. And since those feelings aren't often shared, I think it's important for the women who are viewing this to know that, as with women, the world around men supplies more than enough in the way of criticisms. The number of critics out there are more than adequate. And the most important, I really think the most important characteristic that a man who's been through those long days of routine that I talked about, the most important thing that a man appreciates in the woman that he's in a relationship with is that he can come through that door into the home and he can feel safe. He can feel that the first thing that's going to greet him is not going to be a recitation, a litany of what has about how he's fallen short or how miserable things are around here or what have you. It's men don't often, like I said, men don't often speak about this. If they don't feel safe, different men will respond differently. I know in my own case, it causes me to, if assuming I'm still in the relationship, it causes me to close off. It causes me to seek to protect myself by, you know, even to the point of, it can even get to the point where you'll engage in passive aggressive behaviors just to show that, in essence, you feel unsafe, and in a passive aggressive way, you're fighting back. But in those days of routine, acceptance of the other person and making it your highest priority that they feel safe is, I can't think of a more important aspect of the relationship. Now, are there disagreements you're going to have? Are there things you're going to have to work through and discuss? Of course. But there are entire other courses and speeches and interviews that can give pointers on those. Suffice to say, in the limited time I have, I think it's wise to always keep the disagreement on the subject being talked about. You rarely will get into trouble if you do that. If you keep the other person out of it, if you avoid, you always, phrases like you always, you never, I'm sick of, blah blah blah. If you can keep it off the other person and on the subject, you'll do just fine.
Yeah, that was really beautifully said, Benjamin. And I just think one of the things that we as a couple like to stand for in the world is a greater understanding, a greater compassion, and a greater amount of kindness to have between ourselves and between men and women in general. I do think sometimes there's, because a lot of men have kind of the rough, tough exterior and don't always show or express their emotions as freely or as openly, I think sometimes as women, we sometimes forget how deeply a man can feel and how deeply a man can be hurt. And so it goes both ways, I guess, is what we're saying here. And there's such a great need for deeper understanding. I often think about Stephen R. Covey's 7 principles of highly effective people. And I think the one I love the most is seek first to understand and then to be understood. And I think overall in our relationships, if we did that, it would just be such an amazing gift and blessing in the world. So Benjamin, I'm going to let you have the last word in just a moment, but I just want to mention a couple of things real quickly. And then I'll have you leave us with just kind of a parting thought or last piece of wisdom. So first of all, I want to thank each of you for being here with us on the Man Panel. And as I've mentioned before, this series is a creation from my heart based on your requests of wanting to hear directly from men. So I've created the series and the package of all of the interviews, audio and video, as well as $800 of amazing bonuses. This is the most generous package I've ever offered for one of these things at such an affordable price, is available right now. And you can order directly from this page by scrolling down, or you can go to themanpanel.com/VIP and get a little bit more detail about it. But I encourage you to pick that up, because I believe that even one of these thoughts from one of these conversations could make a really big difference in your life, your relationships, and in your interactions with men. And then secondly, just because all of the other speakers have been sharing a free gift with you, Benjamin and I have a free gift. And this is actually a series that Benjamin and I did a few years back, actually. It's called The Right Man Will and The Right Man Won't. We talked about seven things that we believe the right man won't do and seven things that we believe the right man will do to help guide you as you're out there navigating and dating and analyzing whether a relationship is right for you. And you can access this gift by clicking on the link below. It's also available at buybuybadboys.com. Because we believe that a big part of you being with the right guy is not being tangled up with the wrong guy. So be sure to get our free gift. Benjamin and I did this series together a few years back, and it has some really juicy wisdom that I think you'll really enjoy. So with that, Benjamin, I want to thank you, first of all, for being an amazing husband, for a great blessing in my life, for being the person that I look forward to seeing most every single day. I really love you, and I'm really grateful for you and for the amazing man that you are. And I want to give you a chance to just leave us with a parting thought or last piece of wisdom for the ladies.
Oh, and thank you, Michelle. It's been wonderful to be able to participate with you on this. And I just... I'm very grateful to Michelle for all the wonderful changes, all the wonderful things that she's helped so many women accomplish. As I see these women getting married, and as I see them finding better relationships, I realize that these kind of things happen all the time. And a lot of Michelle hears women say, you know, there just aren't any good men. Well, there are. And one of the reasons why I think working with Michelle helps is that even if I accept the claim that the number of good men is less than the number of bad men, by preparing yourself in the way that Michelle talks about, what you're doing in essence is you're elevating yourself upward. You're elevating yourself above the crowd so that the right man, the good man, the good men out there will notice. And as Michelle has said on many occasions, it only takes one. And by avoiding the kind of mistakes that can turn off a good man, you can find that person who will be right for you. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Benjamin. I've so enjoyed having this conversation with you. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud to be able to have this conversation be a part of the Man Panel. So I'm sending lots of love to you, and ladies, to each of you. I hope to see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.